We'd like to share with you a powerful potential for your ministry if you are a pastor, or for your Christian life if you are a Christian in the church and striving to serve God to His glory. And I firmly believe that this is a powerful potential for your ministry and your Christian service. And that is truth coupled with love. These are the resources for faithful, successful Christian service to the glory of God. Truth coupled with love. Both are spiritual factors, truth and love. I would like for you to turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and there you will find a passage of Scripture that is very familiar to people of the Church of God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know the preceding verses, and you know the verses that follow after. And that this is speaking concerning those who would fall away, and they falling away in the days just prior to the return of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom of God that will fill the whole earth. Truth is the message of God spoken through the love of God. And we are very familiar with the love of the truth. And tonight we would like to also share together in the truth of love. And with these two resources, the love of the truth and the truth of love united together, then we have the resource for a powerful ministry for the glory of God. Paul, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, admonished that the truth be spoken in love. And here again, both of these are united together as the potential and the power for Christian service. That the truth of God, united with the love of God flowing through the person, then can communicate the message of God to humanity, to individuals. Tonight, I could talk to you about loving the lost. And I could use all of the passages of Scripture in which God admonishes, exhorts, and commands and demands that we love the lost. And I could use all of my abilities. I could use fancy phrases and talk to you and encourage you and plead with you to please love the lost. But it would have no effect. Perhaps for a short time you may receive a little tinge of inspiration and feel like maybe I should get out and do a little bit more. But it wouldn't last long if you got anything at all. It will have no effect until first you find the love of God. And only as we find the love of God and experience the love of God and feel the love of God can there be any reflection of love for the lost. Now, there can be role-playing, and we can pretend that we love the lost and we're just so earnest and filled with desire to do God's will, that we want to get out there and help people who are lost to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and to communicate this wonderful truth for the benefit of people who are lost. Now, we can play a role, but we can't truly love the lost until we've come to experience the love of God. And that's part of the truth of love. Now, it's easier to find the love of the truth than it is to find the truth of love. love with faith. I'd like to have you share Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Love with faith. Not seeking to motivate and to generate our Christian service simply on the basis of love without any foundation of faith or truth. Nor can we have simply a foundation of faith and truth without love. But it must be a union of love with faith. And then we have the resource for a potentially powerful ministry of Christian service for the glory of God. I believe that a basic attitude of what's in the heart is the foundation of what comes forth through the life. It depends on what's inside, that what happens on the outside of the individual in their service and reflection for God. We have to first get right with God in the spirit and truth of love. Paul said in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I firmly believe that this is exactly what we are to do, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We intellectualize, and we learn certain scriptures. We know where they are on the page of the Bible. We may not know the chapter and the verse, but we know where it is on the page. And we are able to interpret what these verses say. But that's not enough. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that spirit of the mind determines the quality of Christian experience and Christian service. The spirit of the mind. It's how we are as a person. And it's what we are as a person. It's what we do, and it's how we do it, and why we do it. It's how we think and how we feel. Emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. May we share 1 John 5:12. I'm thankful to Brother Dallas for laying the foundation in one of our ministerial sessions for this thought. For Dallas very beautifully, very clearly presented this thought. And I said to Dallas later on, well, you cut my sermon in half in the amount of time that it will require. And he said, well, repeat it. It's good to hear it again the second time. And the scripture does say in the mouth of two or three witnesses that a thing is confirmed. 1 John 4 and verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. Not our love. We cannot develop love. It's impossible to have such a wonderful lesson on love that people are suddenly, miraculously, going to learn love and to experience love for the lost or for one another. I believe that love comes from God. And when his love is perfected in us, then it's God's love flowing through us. And love is of God. This is what the Bible says. That God is love. And God has created us with the capacity of love. And when we come to realize God's love in our life, and his love is perfected in us, then we won't have to be pleading and begging and pushing and pressuring people to please get out there and love the lost and try to do something about it. You can't say, please love the lost. The Bible tells you, you've got to love the lost. The love of God is perfected in us. Then his love flows through our life. God's love growing and developing within the individual. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, is another very familiar text to all of us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know what this text is talking about. And you pastors, I doubt whether there's one of you who has not preached the sermon on try the spirit. And if you haven't preached the whole sermon on try the spirit, you've at least mentioned this in a sermon or a class. Try the spirits to see whether or not they're of God. And verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know that we have to test by the word and the leadership of God to determine what's truth and what's error, to find the basis of truth. But God is also telling us in this same text, without any break, without any sudden change of meaning, God is talking to us about the truth of love, as well as the love of the truth. And one of the spirits is the spirit of love. Notice verse 7. No, we don't stop at verse 1. Nor do we stop at verse 6 when we're reading the context of what God is saying through inspiration, to try the spirit. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And immediately, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now try the spirit to see whether or not it's the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. And in that comes also love one another, for love is of God. Now test the spirit of love. Does it come from God? You have a love for the lost? You have a love for the people in the congregation? You have a love for brothers in the ministry? A love for one another? A love for all people? Try the spirit to see whether or not we've been renewed in the spirit of our mind and are seeking to grow in the perfection of the love of God flowing through it. Test the spirit. One of the spirits is love. The Bible names the spirit of slumber. Now, do you have the spirit of slumber? How many are sleeping? Two or three. Well, anybody that's real sleepy and you think you can't stay awake, you can stand up for a minute if you want to. Try the spirit. See whether you're discouraged and whether you're sleeping in your service, your Christian life, whether you're discouraged. The Bible talks about the spirit of bondage. You feel like you're all tied in knots and that you're being held back? Are you a slave? You feel in chains and in prison? Try the spirit to see whether or not you're in bondage. The Bible names also the spirit of the world. Are you being directed and led by the spirit of the world? The things outside of the church, are they more important to you than the things of God through the church? Now, tonight, are you thinking about something outside in the world, or are you thinking about God? Try the spirit. At this moment, do you have the spirit of the world in your meditation, or do you have the spirit of God leading you in spiritual thought? The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Do you have the spirit of fear? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now that's one of the spirits. The spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Now the message in the Bible of the fountain and its waters, and the fig tree and its fruit cannot be mistaken. The fountain brings forth sweet water or bitter water, but it doesn't alternate. And the fig tree brings forth the fruit, not olive berries, one year olives, next year figs, next year pears, next year apples. Now that has a message. The fountain brings forth one kind of water. Out of the life flows forth God's love, if God's love is perfected in us. If His love is there. And it's difficult to put something in there temporarily. So now this is the day that I have to go calling, so I've got to get the love of the lost in my heart so I can go out and make those calls. This is visitation day. It's time to get the love of the lost in my heart. You can't do it. Then we begin to look for excuses to call reasons why we can't make it. It's the basic attitude of what's there that determines what comes forth from the life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and then some other things as well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. When God's Spirit moves, His love flows through the Christian. Now, those in the congregation tonight who aren't pastors, you don't have to listen for just a minute. I want to ask them a question of the pastors. Which has priority in your ministry? The love of the sermon or the love of the sinner? Now you think about that. The love of the sermon or the love of the sinner? Are you thinking about your wonderful sermon, or are you thinking about the people in the congregation? When you're preaching, are you thinking about the people, or are you all wrapped up in your thoughts of how much time you've spent in the study and all of these wonderful thoughts that you've got to share with the people, and they have to sit and listen because you've prepared this sermon? Which has priority, the love of the sermon or the love of the sinner? Sometimes we have evangelistic services, and there are people who are outside of Christ sitting in the congregation, and I believe that sometimes the love of the sermon has priority. There may be a communication in the message that Jesus Christ is the Savior who has been set forth before the world, but the sermon goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on until perhaps the person who is outside of Christ and he's not accustomed to being in church and he hasn't learned that you're supposed to sit there for an hour without wiggling, or an hour and a half. And perhaps he may be touched with the message of Jesus Christ, but he talked out of it before the sermon ever quit. And the pastor or the preacher or the evangelist thinks, well, now I've prepared this sermon and I'm going to get finished with it. I don't care how long they sit. These are my notes. I firmly believe that every minister should watch the people in the congregation. And if he has to cut out half of the sermon to make the point and communicate the love of God, stop. Now, let's analyze it. Which has priority, the love of the sermon or the love of the sinner? We have a debt. One debt. Romans 13, verse 8. Incidentally, I'm not going to preach all of my sermon tonight. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's our debt, to love one another. And you may owe a lot of things, but this is the greatest debt that you have, to love one another. The Apostle Paul said, I became all things that I might save some. Now, how many have this depth of love, that you can become all things? He said to the Jew, I became like the Jew. To the one under the law, like the one under the law. To those outside of the law, and so on. Now, he adapted himself. He adapted himself to reach the individual with the love of God and the truth of the gospel. I believe that Paul had the love of the truth and the truth of love. And you know that Paul was not a compromising individual. He's not talking about that he agreed with the ones who taught the law. Paul had more trouble with the people who taught the law. That's the one thing throughout his letters where he had the great problem of those who were teaching the law. But when he was confronted with talking to an individual who was under the law, Paul approached that individual. He didn't go up to him and say, now listen, you know very well, and you can't point out any place where you're supposed to be under the law. He adapted himself so that he could communicate and establish a contact with the individual before he turned them off. What do you do if somebody comes into your congregation, pastors, who may be a Trinitarian, who may be believing in the immortality of the soul? Ah, no. I'm really going to let him have it tonight. Tell him off. Turn him off. Or have we learned the truth of love to approach the individual and communicate God's love and God's truth in a positive way? Sometimes we think that we love the truth so much that we really have to pounce on people. And I believe that we need to find the reality of the truth of love and speak the truth in love. Not diminishing the truth in any sense of the word. Nor can we diminish the love of God in any sense of the word. Love coupled with faith is what we're saying. To love the lost. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And God loves this experience when one comes to the reality of truth in Jesus Christ. Redemption is precious in the sight of God. God loved the world. And when his love comes into our hearts and flows through us and his love is perfected in us, then we have love with faith. Love the truth and have the truth of love in our lives.